it's time to sit down with the one and only, one of the true legends of our time, Mr. Jordan Maxwell. Jordan, I don't know how, it's been well over 20 years that we've known each other, and I haven't talked to you in some, I've gotten emails, but how are you?
Well, first of all, Jeff, thank you for being my friend and inviting me on the show. And,
of course.
I think I'm doing okay, considering I got a bad heart and my lungs are bad. Can't see very well. All the maladies that come
well,
with
Well, first of all,
age.
Let me say this, my friend. You have a huge heart.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your kindness. I'm not well, but I'm still here, still doing
well,
what I do.
Your voice is very comforting and assuring to a lot of people, because you are a repository, the repository. They talk about the seed bank. You know more about the workings of this planet, the secret societies, the people, the intrigue, the evil, the ET aspect, than probably anyone alive on the planet right now. And I'm not blowing smoke at you, you know. And like I say, we've been through a lot of things together over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's you sound good, and I'm really happy about that. So, and this insanity that we're watching is something that, honest to God, I don't know how to quantify it. I don't know what to make of it. When you see Europe literally no longer able to defend itself, or apparently even to think about defending itself, you start to think about, masked EMF, electronic mind control technology, or chemtrails, or something that is ethno-specific for whites, so they no longer want to defend themselves and take care of themselves. It's bizarre what's going on. It's like something was switched off.
There's no doubt. You're exactly right. I sit here and I'm just amazed watching something that I would never have believed possible in the world that I grew up in, where people defended their rights, people defended their neighbors, and people were concerned about life and
their families, and their, for God's sakes. Yes.
Yeah. But today, truth is irrelevant, doesn't have anything to do with anything of any importance. Positive, provable, factual truth is totally irrelevant, means nothing. In court, it means nothing anywhere.
It can do great damage to you in court.
Yeah. Get ripped off. I've been ripped off in court so bad you cannot believe it. But I go with the flow. My feeling is that I'm at an age right now. I'm 76, almost 77 soon, and so I already understand that I'm not going to be here much longer anyway, and it's not going to help you, not going to do anything for your health to get all upset about it. But I am just amazed at the human family falling apart worldwide.
Right.
And I realize that that implies something far bigger. Ultimately than what we are able to wrap our minds around. What we're seeing is the complete and utter falling apart of the human system on Earth. The lies have finally reached a point where there's no need to look for truth. It's all lies, period. All of it, and it's being manipulated, exploited by criminals who call themselves politicians. And I wanted to talk a little bit about religion tonight, as I told you before, but I want to throw in a quick experience I had when I was a kid that I think bears witness today.
Right.
When I came to California in 1959, I was just turning 19 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up in North Hollywood. At that time, 56 years ago, North Hollywood was just a little Mickey Mouse, little town.
Sure.
In the San Fernando Valley. And I got a nice little room in the backyard. These people had a big backyard, and they had about six or eight little cottages. And then there was one that had a one bedroom. All the rest of them were just little things. And so I got one, and I was living there in North Hollywood. Well, the lady who had the one bedroom was about 80 years old. Her name was Gracie. And Gracie was a sweetheart, and I loved her dearly. And she would hobble along going to the store while I would always run errands for her and do whatever she needed done. And so we became very close friends. And one night, Gracie asked me, she said, "Why don't you come over for dinner? I'm fixing dinner. Come over." And so I had never been at our place before. So I did. And when I got there, I was absolutely blown away. She had in her front room, and I may have told you this before, but she had in her front room all kinds of pictures on the wall, all of them with very famous gangsters, all of the guys from Chicago, Detroit, and Kansas City. I'm talking about all of them. She was a beautiful dance hall girl, but she kept talking about she lived the life. And
she was a mall.
Yeah, and she didn't mind telling me. She said, I lived the life. And she said, "Well, happily, I'm still here. I don't know how that happened, but I'm still here." And she said, and so she had all these pictures of all, and so she talked with me for hours over dinner about each one of the pictures, each one of the gangsters that she was with and what they were like and who they were and what they did, et cetera. And it was a brilliant education for a 19-year-old kid, and I had the presence of mind to know that I'm in the presence of a lady who has been there. This lady knows what she's talking about. But she had a bunch of pictures on this on the one wall, very prominent, with her sitting on the lap of Al Capone. She was a beautiful girl, but she was sitting on his lap and laughing and having a great time with Al and his quote associates in quote. And so I asked her. I said, "Gracie, tell me about Al." And she said, "Oh, now there's a real story." And she began telling me all kinds of personal stuff about Al Capone and all of his habits and all of his ways and the way he acted and the way he reacted to things, etc. And she said, "You know, one night I was sitting on his lap. We were having drinks around with all the guys." And she said, "And I asked him, because he was in an especially jovial mood, so I took advantage of that," she said. "So I asked him, in front of everybody," she said, "Al, tell me, how come you can do what you do and be who you are, and everybody in Chicago, in Illinois, and in this country knows who you are, and yet, you're free to do whatever you want to do? I mean, how does that work?" And he said to her, "Gracie, I am simply a small cog and a big wheel. I do jobs for my masters, and they allow me to play my games. So we have a working arrangement. Government uses me to do jobs that they don't want their name talked to. So they give me little things to do for them, and the payback is that they leave me alone, and we have a nice arrangement. They need somebody bumped off, I'll take care of it. And if I get in trouble, they'll take care of it." So he said, "So I exist actually to serve the guys who really run this country. And if I get out of line, then I'm through. And they can do that quickly. But they let me do what I do because I serve them." And so she told me, she said, "Living the life, I came to the conclusion that organized crime is simply a business. And it's a business that caters to a bigger business, which is government. And the bottom line is that the guys are getting away with stuff. They're getting away with it, and the government knows who they are. They know what they're doing. They know where they live. They know what they're doing. If they get out of line and offend someone in government, well, that's different. Now they go to prison. But as long as they do their thing and do what the government wants them to do, and, it's just a business, two corporations working together." And so I just thought about that over the years. That, this was Al Capone's view of government, and this was her view, and unfortunately, this is my view now. It's government wants these things to happen.
I mean, so-called crime and criminals are simply another extension of government, of course. Now, this is amazing. At 19, Jordan, that sounds like it may have been your first glimpse into how the world was really run.
Yeah, and I sat there all night listening to her telling me about all of these famous criminals and who they were working for and what politicians were in their pocket and how it would, you know, how the whole system worked and the banking, how the banks were working directly with Bugsy Siegel and Mario Lansky and some of the biggest banks in the U.S., especially in California. I mean, I could tell you a story that will turn your hair white. That stuff is incredible.
My hair already is white, so go ahead.
Yeah, well, then it will fall out.
No, stop. Don't do that.
But the point I'm making
is that... What a beautiful story.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Jordan, that's just amazing.
Listening to somebody like her just rattle off for hours, a couple, 3 hours, of all kinds of stories about powerful people, politicians, and presidents and vice presidents and congressmen and who they are and who they're paying off and who gets bumped off.
What a blessing for you. I mean, I think of all the horrors you've been through, especially at this stage in your life, and you don't deserve any of that, but look at the good. I know you do, but look at this woman sharing that with you. I mean, I can almost feel like I'm there listening when you're describing it.
She was wonderful. She was wonderful. Yeah. She was so kind, but I could tell by the pictures she was one party girl. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
And she was beautiful, right. and she attracted the attention of some of the biggest names in the gangster world.
Right.
And, but the bottom line on this story is that Al Capone, I shall never forget the way she said it. Al said, he exists at the behest of the powers that be that use him. And as long as he does what they need to be done, then he can play his games and do what he wants to do. And when they've decided they've had enough of him, then that's it. So the bottom line is I came away understanding that government has the power to do whatever they want to do, period. I mean, it's not like the mafia. No, this is far more powerful than that. And that the government has the power to do whatever they want to do or to get done whatever they want done. And if they can't do it, they will pay someone to do it. So when you see the crime in the streets, when you see the breakdown of law and order in America and around the world, you need to understand that's what the politicians on the inside, the big guys who run the planet, that's what they want, because they are paying large sums of money in contracts around the world to get things done. And so whatever is done, that's what they wanted.
Got it.
And if they didn't want it, they would take if something was happening that this government, the U.S. government, did not want at all, believe me, there would be bloodshed tonight to straighten out whatever it is that's going on that the government does not want happening. But if there's criminals out in the streets and they turn around and let the criminals go and let all the mobsters and all the illegals go and let them come back in and give them guns and let them kill each other and kill everybody else, it's because this is an idea. It's a political concept.
Mm-hmm.
It's a political concept of keep the people anxious and concerned and worried.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they
keep stress, anxiety. That's what this is, a stress society. That's what it's all about.
That's
you
what
bet.
It's all about.
Absolutely. Wear everybody down with stress, debt, grief, pain, all of these images that go into the mind that are put there. Stress oriented, grief oriented images designed to take the humanity out of humans.
That's what I'm trying basically to say. It's all orchestrated purposely. And this is why when you have cables what's some of the cable? The big cable companies like...
Oh, Time Warner? I don't know. There's
no, I'm talking about like Discovery
Oh, and, History and Channel, Discovery Channel. There's 150 or 200 cable channels now. How can you even remember
them
all?
Yeah, well, I'm talking about the ones I...
HBO, whatever. I don't even know.
But I'm talking about Discovery and all of those kind of channels. What do sure. they have on now? They, first of all, have brainless, useless crap of some old good old boys down in Tennessee in the swamps killing alligators. Or another thing they have all the time is showing you the life in the prisons. And this is not by chance.
Oh,
I understand the concept.
Prison documentaries. Yeah,
that's right. But they want to show the people of America. You better be in, and you better get in line and be in compliance, because if you go to prison, here's what you're going to be facing in prison. So they make sure they have plenty of documentaries on prisons, just to keep everybody aware. This is what you're going to get. If you get out of line, you're going to prison. So I understand the politics of the propaganda, but keep in mind one thing about propaganda. Propaganda does not deceive you. It helps you to deceive yourself. So that's the problem today. Too many people are ignorant and lazy, have lazy mental habits, do not want to read, are not interested to hear anything of any importance until it comes to their front door. Then when it comes to their door and they're in trouble, now they want to sue somebody. Now they want to do something about the situation. Well, I got news for you. This country is so far gone, and the human family, what is really frightening is that the human family does not have what it needs as a family on the earth, does not have the wherewithal, the intelligence, the wisdom, the understanding to protect itself. We are just like the animals out in the Serengeti Plains, like I told you before. We're just like all the zebras out in the plains.
That's a perfect analogy, Jordan. That's right.
And the lions, there's only a handful, but God, they are terrible, and they are organized, and they are horrible, and they are creeping along in the grass. They all know what
it's
doing.
It's creeping death all the time, waiting to spring.
Totally. And so I'm saying that all the animals, the millions of animals out there on the plains, just eating and drinking and watching their young and doing what they do, never realizing for a moment what's in the high grass that's moving in on them. And so that's the same thing we've got here. Organized government is organized crime, period. Big time. This is why even the LAPD, the cops in the LAPD have said, they've told me, yeah, you want to talk about gangs? Yeah, we are the biggest gang. There's a lot of us, and we got badges and guns, so we're the biggest gang.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, well, I guess you're right there. So anyway, it's just I see the same things you do, but I've been seeing it for a long time, and the only thing I bring to the table of any value, I believe, is the fact that I have been in the company of and been privileged on many occasions to be in the company of people that were extraordinary individuals that were very powerful, and I happened to be able to sit there and see them and be with them and hear what they had to say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I just wish I could tell this audience some of the stuff that I have wanted the people to know for so long, but I cannot. I can't do it because my life would be at stake, and I'm too old to be taken out tortured.
Well, look how much you've suffered, Jordan. I mean, let's now, even if you were to disclose this material and we recorded it for posterity forever, for 50, 100 years from now, which it really should be, it needs to be, what are they going to do to you? What have you got left for them to take except your life? And then
well,
we all lose.
True.
We all lose.
You're right. You're right.
And I don't want to lose
everything.
You. No way. But I mean, you have been abused more than anyone I know in this business. No question. None.
I'm just amazed. I'm amazed how, you know, I've had people ask me, could you sum up, how would you sum up your life in one word?
Abuse.
And that is very easy. I would say betrayal.
There you go. That's it. No, betrayal. Absolutely. And I know a lot about these betrayals that have been done to you. I've always been amazed that you have been able to withstand them and continue to put the message out there, the message of care, of truth, of kindness, of information, and of wisdom. And you've never stopped.
I just feel that what I'm doing, I'm supposed to do. And the mere fact that my life has been filled, even from the late teens, my life has been filled with betrayal. People who supposedly my friend turned around and stabs me in the back. I've had so many betrayals in my life that I have come to accept it as part of who I am. And this is my life, and this is who I am. And this is the way I live. And happily, at my age, I'm not going to be here much longer. But I will take with me knowledge that will blow you away if you knew why I have been betrayed for so many years and so many things have happened to me. Because a lot of people know that I know things about them, and so I've had to try and stay alive and do what I do and stay alive.
If you want to record it even by yourself on a digital recorder, do it. Make recordings. You can send them to me for safekeeping. I'll duplicate them and make sure others who are very trustworthy have them. And we'll have this, and it'll only be released after the proper time comes and goes. That's just a thought. You really don't want to take it with you. If it will benefit anyone, it's worth preserving.
Well, there's so many things. So many people I know that would just absolutely blow your mind if I told you who I know and where I was and what they said and what I saw them with my own eyes do, you know. But I'm definitely afraid, because I'm smart enough to know these kind of things can get you killed.
They killed Nikola Tesla. They don't care. You're never too old to be murdered. Let's put it that way.
That's true. That's exactly right. And so I'd like to leave here quietly, you know.
Well, I do understand. We're going to go through the break with Jordan here, Todd, so thank you. With respect to the state of the country and the betrayal that we have all felt from Trump, who probably was simply sat down and they explained to him how the game was played, and after he got over his shock, he began to do what he was told. That's probably what happened. We don't know for sure. Or the other option is he was conning us for the whole year and a half of the campaign. But there are indications that that's not true. He just didn't know what he was getting into. And once he got in, they swore him in, they sat him down, and they told him, here's how it goes. And he said,
My take on this is exactly that. I think he thought, because he was a very powerful man in his own world, and could call the shots and knew how to run things.
Yeah, and he had all this populism behind him. My God.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But people would jump at his command. But when he got into government and found out, no, these are not people. These are not people.
No,
you're not,
not
dealing with people. You're dealing with demonic depravity from hell. You're dealing with things that make the mafia shake and shiver. You're dealing with a dark, evil, bloodlusting, incredible criminal organization that's running this world. So you better back up, son. You're out of line.
And they will have no problem killing as many billions of people as they want in the most heinous and hideous way. They don't care at all.
Couldn't care less.
No.
Just business.
That's it.
That's all it is. Anyway, I want to talk when we come back.
We're not going to break. We're going to go through. So go ahead. Just keep going.
Oh, okay. The thing I wanted to talk about is that I was looking at the history, and I've been looking at this stuff for years. I've been looking at it for 56 years, and people that complain about me haven't looked at it for 56 minutes.
Oh, but, God.
But I want to talk a little bit about Zionism.
Yes.
Because I've been looking at some of the history of Zionism. And I just took a few notes here. And let me just go through some of these notes quickly to make my point. Back in 1820, my God, that's about not long after the founding of America. Back in 1820, a guy named Mordecai Noah, with other Jews, tried to set up a Zionist homeland for the Jews in New York. on Grand Island in New York. 1820, there was a Jewish guy named Mordecai Noah, and he tried to set up with a bunch of other Jews what would be called the homeland for the Jews in New York. Well, it didn't work. So in 1903, British Colonial Secretary Joseph Chamberlain, he suggested to the Zionist Theodore Herzl, this is 1903, a homeland for the Jews would be perfect at Mau Plateau, it's M-A-U Plateau, in Kenya, Africa. And the idea was put forth called the Uganda Program. So the British colonial secretary said a great place for the Jewish homeland would be in Africa, in Kenya. Well, that didn't work, so they move on. Then 2 years later, in 1905, a large group of angry and frustrated European Jews formed an organization called the Jewish Territorialist Organization, the aim of which was stated by the founders as to just find and establish a Jewish homeland on the earth somewhere.
Right.
But that didn't work either. Then in March of 1928, then in the Soviet Union, it was suggested that in the Russian Far East, in an area called Komzet, K-O-M-Z-E-T, near the Amur River, A-M-U-R River, there could be a perfect homeland for the Jews, that all the Jews could come to the Soviet Union, to the Far East section of the Soviet Union, and set up their own homeland there. And this was because Joseph Stalin loved the Jews so much that he wanted to have a new communist homeland for the Jews. And it was called the Jewish Autonomous Oblast, O-B-L-A-S-T, the Jewish Autonomous Oblast that Joseph Stalin, he called it the Soviet Zion. It would be a wonderful communist homeland for the Jews, but after a while that didn't work either, so that fell through. In fact, earlier in the Soviet Union, around another idea was suggested for a homeland for the Jews could be placed in the Crimea or the Ukraine area. But the Ukrainians were not impressed or interested, so that fell through too. And then it was revealed in 1979 book called The Fugo Plan, spelled F-U-G-U. The Fugo Plan was the name of the book. And in it, it talked about 1934, Japan allegedly offered a place in Japan for the Zionism to have a homeland for the Jews in Japan. Well, that didn't work out very well at all, so forget that. Then in 1938, Hitler's Nazi Germany, the Third Reich, came up with a new idea to form a new Zionist state off the coast of Africa, East Africa.
And Madagascar. By saying
all the Jews that they could find would be sent to the island of Madagascar. But that, of course, that didn't work out either. So we move on. Then in 1940, in the UK, the British thought that they could build a Zionist homeland for the Jews in British Guyana, which is today just Guyana. But after thinking about it for a while, they said, forget it, it ain't going to work, so that's it. Then in 1930, another brilliant idea was suggested by a British Zionist League. It's called the British Zionist League, that the idea was that in the Kimberley region of Australia, there would be a perfect place for the Jewish homeland in what they call the Kimberley region of Australia. Mm-hmm. And that was open to the Jews to have their homeland there. But after thinking about it for a bit, the Australian government said, no, I don't think so in our backyard, so forget it. So that fell through. Shortly afterwards, the prime minister of Tasmania, his name was Robert Cosgrove. He came up, the premier of Tanzania came up with a dazzling, brilliant idea. He suggested a homeland for the Jews in an area called Port Davey area in southwest Tasmania. But he died immediately after bringing up the subject. He died, and everyone said, forget it. It's a bad idea anyway, so that didn't go anywhere. Then finally, God steps in. Finally, God steps in to save the Jewish homeland for the Jews, God's chosen people. Finally got the help from God that they needed, for their homeland. And so his name was Baron Rothschild of the Satanic Illuminati fame. So Rothschild called them one of his male whores named Lord Arthur Balfour.
Yeah.
And appointed him to be the chief butt kisser in the British Israel Illuminati Masters.
And was he ever?
Yeah. Boy. And so the rest is history. Then today we have Rothschild and Balfour went to play in their favorite sandbox called the UN. And they came up with a great idea for a homeland for God's chosen people. And the idea was as simple as it was brilliant. They said, well, where would ancient Israel, if it ever existed, which in point of fact, that was all I was going to talk about tonight, it never did exist. There was no ancient Israel on the earth, period. But the idea Balfour and Lord Rothschild came up with is, if there was an ancient Israel, where would it have been? And they said, well, obviously it would have been in the Middle East. They said, okay, then let's go to the Middle East and find some people, who are docile, who have lived there, for all these thousands of years, never hurt anyone. Why don't we go in and pull, like Adolf Hitler did, a blitzkrieg? We'll pull into town at 3 o'clock in the morning with tanks and scare the hell out of everybody and kill anybody that gets in our way. And then we will scream in their faces that God gave this land to me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, God gave this land
all
to me.
All contrived, all of it.
Yeah, but why didn't they tell the other 14 places that they kept trying to get into that God gave me this land? And so they just asked permission. Could we have found a homeland here? No, get going. And so 14 times later, they finally decided to go to the Middle East. And now they can say, God gave us this land is mine. Which, of course, the Palestinians were wondering, what the hell are you talking about? We've been here for 6,000 years and nobody knows who you are. You're from Europe, Airhead. And so the bottom line is that Zionism is just a political movement that is designed to do one thing, and it hasn't got anything, and I want to make this clear, Zionism has nothing to do whatsoever with the Jewish people as a people. That's a whole nother story, is who are the Jewish people, where did they come from, and is there, in fact, a legitimacy to this whole idea of an ancient Israel? Well, in point of fact, no. Ancient Israel never existed, period.
How interesting.
And we know that scientifically now. There are too many good and intellectually honest professors, teachers, scientists in the state of Israel today, which are writing books, and more is coming out every day saying that the history of the Jewish people and the ancient Israel was all invented, probably by the Knights Templars in the 9th, 10th, and 11th century AD in Europe. They came up with the idea that there was a ancient Israel and the ancient people of Israel and that Old Testament, and it was thousands and thousands of years ago.
Uh-huh.
I now am completely convinced, because of what I've seen and talked to all the experts over the years, that the whole concept of an ancient Israel in the ancient Middle East was bull. Never happened. There was no such a place
Shocker.
As ancient Israel.
Shocker.
The
lies are endless. Endless lies.
Yep.
Wow.
And so there are so many books. Here's what's important. There are so many books and authors coming out of the state of Israel today. All these different names in my head right now, but they're writing books and giving lectures out on the web. You can go and listen to these lectures.
Uh-huh.
of the Jewish researchers, Jewish writers, academics, professors, etc., talking about there was no ancient Israel. It was dreamt up most likely in the 9th, 10th, 11th century AD in Europe. There was no ancient Israel. The whole thing is a story. But the reason why that story was put forth is because the Vatican wanted a legitimate foundation on which to build a world religion. And so if they wanted to build a world religion based mm-hmm. on Jesus, which was mm-hmm. a new concept, mm-hmm. The world was already got. We already got the Buddhas and all kinds of saviors. What do we need this new one? So right. the Vatican realized that it needed a legitimate foundation on which to build their empire. And so the best way to do that is to show that Jesus came out of a civilization called ancient Israel. And so it wasn't the Vatican that was so holy. It was ancient mm-hmm. Israel that was so holy. And the Vatican is carrying on the great work of the ancient Israel with the new mm-hmm. Messiah. Mm-hmm. And so the bottom line is that the whole story of ancient Israel, and this is why the Zionists, who were concerned about a homeland for the Jews, went to about 14 different places before they finally decided to shout in somebody's face that God gave us this land, and this was my land, God gave it to me. Right. And I'm thinking, why didn't you say that on the other 14 times?
Funniest
thing. You know?
Yeah.
So it's ludicrous. It is absolutely on the face ludicrous that Zionism was designed to to provide a homeland for the Jews. When in factually, there never was an ancient Israel or an ancient Jewish people. There never was. There was. And so when you start reading all of the reference books and listening to the lectures of all the guys coming out of Israel, what they're talking about is becoming overwhelmingly obvious that we have been lied to and set up a long time ago. And when you get into theology, I've been doing this for many years. I'm looking at it for many years. I'm telling you, there is an extraordinary story of betrayal and lies that it's so unbelievable that's why it works. It's so absolutely in your face unbelievable that nobody would believe it. But once you begin to see the telltale signs, it's all there. Religion. It's a fraud.
Yeah. Well, they hide behind Zionism is a secular, international, geopolitical intrigue, and it has nothing to do with spirituality. Nothing. People need to know that. Now, the fact that you're relaying this is extraordinary. There was no ancient Israel. Wow.
No. None.
Wow.
Never existed. And
wow.
There is no Hebrew, and there is no such a thing in this world as a Hebrew language. This is what some of the professors and great teachers coming out of Israel today are saying. Quite simply, there is no such a thing as a Hebrew language. There is a language which the so-called Hebrews speak. But today in America, it's like saying today in America, we in America speak the American language. No, we don't speak American. We are American, but we speak English. The same thing is true with the Hebrew. There is no Hebrew language as such. It's a Phoenician Canaanite language, which the Hebrews speak. So we call it Hebrew. No, it's the Hebrews speak it, but it's not Hebrew. It's Phoenician Canaanite. And then when you begin to look into the gods of the ancient Hebrews and find out that El was God, and that God was also in Judaism today, the God of Judaism today is the planet Saturn.
Uh-huh.
Saturn was referred to as the Lord of the Rings. Well, of course, the Jews in Hollywood are still making movies about their God, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And women were told to get married, to listen to their God, so they wear an ear ring. Men were to get married before their God, so they wear a wedding ring. The whole concept of the holy ring goes back to Saturn, the Lord of the Rings. And of course, on Saturn is the North Pole of Saturn is a hexagram I'm just telling you that there's a world of knowledge you're not aware of in relation to ancient religions. All three major religions in this world are not what you think they are. They have been foisted upon us. Somebody has put together one hell of a good story. And I'm not talking about trying to harm or to offend people. As a teacher, I'm just trying to tell you there's something else going on here. It's part of the mass destruction of the human family. Uh-huh. So that we are now, as a human race on the earth, we have been put under arrest. We cannot think any longer. We cannot speak any longer. You have to be in compliance with the government. Whatever they say, you have to do. You cannot be free to open your mouth and say what you think. If you do, you'll go to prison.
That's right.
Or worse.
Yeah, you know, we talk about people being forced to live or tricked or duped to live in a hologram. Well, the hologram is the simple fact that virtually everything we know and think we know by way of an ordered structure on the planet is a lie. That's the hologram.
But that's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
The whole religio, political, educational institutions of the world have been developed a long time before you were born. So when you came into the world, Johnny come lately, you just accept whatever it is. At 1 year old, you just accept that whatever it is, that's what it is. And so you grow up believing that whatever it is, it's that your country or your people or your city or your family, what they believe and what they think, well, that's the way it is. But that's not the way it is. That's the way you think it is.
Right.
And then when you begin to see how a classic example of the whole Jewish religion itself being a fraud, a total fraud. And as I said, and I'll say it again, some of the best minds in Israel today are publicly talking about the fraud of what has been foisted on the people to believe. We're all three of these major religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, all three will tell you that their father, all three have the same father, Abraham. They're called Abrahamic religions. Well, if you go back to the Bible, originally that man's name was not Abraham. It was Abram, A-B-R-A-M,
huh.
Abram. And Abram later on, God said, I'll change your name to Abraham. But he started off as Abram. A-B, Ab is father, and Ram, R-A-M, was the Ram god in Egypt.
Oh, got it.
So it's Abram is father Ram.
Mm-hmm.
And so the father Ram, Abraham, becomes later on Abraham. Well, how? Because in India is the parent of all three major religions today. Keep this in mind. If you forget all of it, just remember this. India is the parent of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. All three have come directly out of the Hindu. And when you go back into the Hindu and go back into the ancient, really ancient, you will begin to see the connections. For instance, in India, there was and still is a priesthood called the Brahmins, the Brahmin priesthood. And the Brahmins will tell you, they're not ashamed to tell you, that they are God's chosen people.
Got it.
They were chosen by God. They are God's chosen. And the rest of you are all a bunch of schmucks but they are the ones who can communicate with God. And so they became known as the Brahmins. Well, all you need to do is put an A in front of it, becomes Abram. And from Abrahmins becomes Abraham. And the Brahmins, as the God's chosen people in India, a holy priesthood, they're in charge of everything. They have a goddess that they also worshipped, and was part of their godhead, was a goddess named Saraswati. And so you have Saraswati. There was a river in India called Saraswati, in which the Brahmins, that was a very holy river to them because the river represented the female, and her name was Saraswati.
Huh.
So now you got Abraham or Abraman and Sarah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And now you get Abram and Sarah. Now you finally find out that the Abrahamans will tell you that there's a Messiah who came to save the world, and his name was Krishna. Mm-hmm. And Krishna. Mm-hmm. And Krishna is quite simply Christos. And Christos, Krishna.
Oh, my. Oh,
yeah, and now you get down to the sun in the ancient language was called Isis, I-S-E-L-I-S-O-U-S, Iosis.
Uh-huh.
And so you change the I's and J's are interchangeable. So you change the I to J, it becomes Jesus, Jesus. And so Jesus was the Messiah, or the one who has come to save the world, Krishna. And so he became Jesus Krishnos, or Jesus Christ, Krishna. And this is why Pillsbury has a cooking oil called Crisco, because it's based on the word Christo. Christo is, all of these words mean something. All of this, I'm giving you this in the Reader's Digest version.
Got it.
A quick rendition of what I'm telling you I've been looking at for some 56 years is that all of these religions, somebody very, very long time ago put all of this together. And whoever it was absolutely brilliant. I don't think they were human. And they put this story together in such a way that it still today dominates the world of religion on all three major religions are all based on Hindu. And this stuff has been killing us and the people are killing each other, never realizing for a moment that Allah, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jesus, etc., all of these are made up part of some kind of a religio-political establishment from thousands and thousands of years ago. It's a hell of a story, and look how it has played out today, where it's nothing but bloodshed everywhere, and ignorance, ill-informed, stupidity, and it's all right in history books. All you got to do is just go read.
Right. Who does
so
that
I'm
anymore?
Just saying it's a mess. And before we go, I know we only have a couple of moments left.
Got about 3 minutes. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like everyone to know that I have my website. My website is Jordan Maxwell Show, S-H-O-W, jordanmaxwellshow.com. But on that website, I also have a couple of other websites. One is called Research Society. It's just a website in which I am uploading every day with my webmaster. I'm uploading every day all of my research over the years. I've got over 4 terabytes of documents and pictures and white papers, research papers, audio, video, all kinds of research on all kinds of subjects in religion, the government, all the and banking, etc. And so it's on a new website I call Research Website, or the Research Society website.
Right.
You have to join it, because I want to keep this kind of information private for just those people who want to know. I'm tired of feeding the world information, and they go out and make movies and TV shows and give me nothing. So I'm putting this into a private research website called the Research Society website. You might go on my Jordan Maxwell Show and join my Research Society. You'll see I've got tons of stuff on there, and a lot more is coming. And also, I would like to say that I have 2 brand new videos. For years, I've been trying to do 2 videos in particular, which are very important to me. And this is for, I don't know, last 35, 40 years, I've been trying to get these 2 videos done, and I've not been able to do it. But I finally got them done. So I have 2 brand new videos on my Jordan Maxwell Show. It's right there on the homepage, finally.
Right.
So, and they're both very, very controversial, but that's exactly who I am, and that's what I do. But that's my new videos. It's called Cosmocrats. It's dealing with the Illuminati masters who run this world from behind the scenes, but who they really are, what they're actually doing. And it's a total different story than what you've been hearing. So I got 2 new videos, and I have a research website I'd like for everyone to take advantage of. And again, I want to thank you for allowing me on the show, because we got a lot more to talk about later.
Anytime, just let me know, Jordan. Jordan Maxwell Show www.thebigbrainacademy.com.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
that's
there.
It.
Sound like they're coming to get you out there now.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
No. All right. So we got to make sure this works. JordanMaxwellShow.com. We got to put the W's in front of it.
Well, I don't think so. Just Jordan Maxwell Show is good enough.
All right, very good.
But make sure it's Jordan Maxwell Show, because there are others out there
with my name on it. Oh, yes, there are.
Yeah.
All right. Jordan, talk soon. Let me know when you want to come back.
Okay, dear. Thank you very much for having me on. Oh, we'll talk later.
Of course. Okay. Good night, my friend.
Good night. Bye.
Bye. There he goes. The one and only, truly an amazing man. We'll be right back in 21 hours. Talk to you then. Oops, no, it's Friday. Let's rephrase that. We'll be back Monday live, but Sunday with the best of, and then throughout the weekend, the Rents Radio Network puts on its programs for your listening, so you can go anytime. And don't forget to go to the YouTube channel. I've got a lot of selected programs there for you. Really remarkable things to listen to and share. It's right at the top of Rents on the right-hand side, so use those. All right, take care. Talk soon.